for our first reading this afternoon. Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. This far I desire that we read in our first reading with the help of the Lord. And now let us kneel down to worship our God in prayer and thanksgiving. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we desire to worship Thee. We desire, Lord, to have an open heart and mind for Thy holy word, and yet we realize that in our own strength we can do nothing. Therefore we pray, Lord, in Thy great goodness, in Thy mercy that cannot be measured, in Thy love, O Heavenly Father, that was so wonderfully displayed and testified in the suffering of our Lord and Savior, we pray in His name that Thou grant us an open heart and mind. Thou, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, grant us an ear that hears the voice of Thy Spirit, an eye that can see Thy wonderful and wondrous works, Thy work of our salvation in Christ. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, a circumcised tongue and heart and mind, that we may be faithful witnesses of Thy holy word, that word of Thine may work first in our hearts, in our minds, in our deeds. Gracious and loving Lord, make us aware of the glory of Thy majesty, as Thy servant Moses desired to see Thy glory. Grant us also that desire to see Thy glory that is shining in its full brightness, even in the darkest moments on the cross. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, Abraham, our father, saw Thy day and was rejoicing greatly. May in our hearts also be that wonderful joy of Thy salvation, that nothing in this world, nothing that is of interest of the sinful man, be attractive to us. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with that faith and our lives with faithfulness of Thy faithful ones, the faith of the holy prophets and of the holy apostles, that is founded on that firm cornerstone, that rock of ages, the rock that Thou hast placed in Zion, that everyone that believes in Him would be safe and would not be confused and ashamed. Gracious Lord, make us Thou faithful, and in that faith, O Lord, Thou grant us good deeds of true godliness. May our life be like the life of our father Abraham, marked with the altars of the holy faith. And may we in our daily walk have that one altar of the holy faith, the altar upon which the most holy sacrifice, the only sacrifice worthy to take away our sins, was offered for our salvation. May we also, Lord God, as the true disciples of thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, walk in the steps of our Savior. May also our tears and our sweat and our blood be blended with the most holy tears and sweat and blood that has washed us from our sins. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we are weak, but thou art strong. We are but few, but thou art, O Lord God Almighty, the God of victory, glorious and loving Heavenly Father, that hast sent our blessed Redeemer to redeem us, to save us from our sins, to save us from the power of sin, to save us and redeem us from the second death, and to make us faithful followers of Him that has battled the fiercest battle and has obtained the most glorious victory. Gracious Lord, as His will always was to do thy will, grant to us that will of thine to rule our lives, our hearts, our minds, that thy word may become the law of our daily walking before thy holy face, and the goal of our striving, that that perfect, glorious image of the Savior may walk out of the pages of this holy book and fill our hearts and our days, to make us a living, a continual testimony of that wonderful and great work, that miracle of miracles, showing what thy grace has created from sinners, the heirs of the heavenly kingdom. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may each mouth here be filled with praises of thy holy name. May each heart be overflowing with love and gratitude and zeal for this high calling, that we may also, O Lord God Almighty, feel that line of the seed of Abraham, those that walked in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, that in that, O Lord God Almighty, that holy chain made from the links of the souls that believe, that thou hast redeemed, those that thou hast taken out of the world, out of darkness, and made them thine own, O Lord God Almighty, in that line may our souls also be placed, O Lord, in thy grace, to be thy children, beloved, faithful, and zealous for thy will. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may that blessed hope, hope that was the comfort and expectation of all the saints from the old times until the day of thy glorious return, may that holy hope keep our hearts in expectation of that glory that shall appear so soon. Gracious and loving Lord, make us thou faithful and fruitful. Lead us thou and teach us thou, fill us thou and use us thou. O Lord, let none of us be idle, aimless, lost in wishful thinking. Gracious Lord, make us thou faithful and make us fruitful. Holy Father, as we walk on this path to glory, thou grant us that deep and true humility, meekness, a humble and contrite heart, a soul that is longing for that heavenly home, that is expecting to see someday that glorious city and all the blessed inhabitants gathered around thy holy throne and glorifying thee, King of kings and Lord of lords, Almighty God, to whom belong worship and praise, honor and glory, power and government in endless ages. O Father, only thou canst do that, and it is in thy power. May we humbly bow at the feet of the Savior and listen to that wonderful teaching, that in the simplicity of the language of a poor, uneducated people proclaimed the wisdom and the beauty of thy holiness and revealed that sacred mystery, how in Christ thou art saving our souls. Holy Father, the angel since the beginning desired to see into that deep mystery that was covered for them until it has been and it was revealed on the cross. O Lord, as they desire to see, grant us even greater desire to walk in that new life in Christ, to do thy will. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, watch over us and protect us. Keep us from all evil. Keep us, O Heavenly Father, with a mind and heart set up upon the heavenly things, that our heart and mind may be there where our treasure is and where our head is, in thy glory, in that wonderful holy city, the New Jerusalem, the mother of all the faithful ones. Gracious Lord, we call upon thy holy name, and we desire, O Father, that thou grant us health for our souls and bodies, our mind and spirit. That thy kingdom be within, that we also may be in thy kingdom. That holy covenant, O Lord, which thou hast made in Christ with all those that thou hast redeemed, that covenant may be ours always, and that walking and living and laboring in that covenant and belonging for that heavenly home, we finally may reach the heavenly portals and hear thy voice so majestic, so glorious, so wonderful, that will say, come in, O ye blessed, receive the kingdom. We long to see, O Lord, that moment and that situation when thou, that by thy grace hast labored for us, thou that hast battled for us, thou that hast fulfilled the covenant for us, thou that hast carried us in the most difficult moments of our journey, thou, Lord, in thy wonderful love, wilt give the reward to us unworthy children of thine. Gracious Lord, who can? Who can thank thee as much as thou art worthy to be praised and honored for that wonderful love of thine? O Father, give us again this afternoon our new strength. Move us one step forward, one step ahead, and keep us on our journey to the end of our pilgrimage. And thou, O Lord God Almighty, by the power of thy Spirit, even in us, so weak and small, so few in number, so despised and rejected, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, even in our midst, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, may the power of thy Spirit be manifested, and the beauty of thy blessed teaching, the Holy Gospel, revealed, the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, exalted and glorified. For to thee, O Father, belong worship and praise, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, beloved brethren, and I desire that we read from the Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 11. Let us continue on the verse number 15 to the verse number 19. With the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:15 through 19. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This far I desired to read from this chapter 11, the chapter of faith, or the sons of faith of the saints throughout numerous centuries, the history that is described in the Holy Scripture. And here in this chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is giving us rather brief summary of the Bible records concerning the faith and faithful testimony of the faithful servants and ministers of our Lord, mainly of the First or Old Testament. Now, here we read that in verse number 13, these all listed in the preceding verses of the chapter 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And then, in one of the following verses, we read something different, at least at the first look at it. Verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. How can it be? Let's read those verses again. Verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and so on. Verse 17, the second part, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Did they receive or they did not receive the promises? In the verse number 17, the promises are received by the word of God. In the verse number 13, the fulfillment of those promises has not been received yet. It's coming, in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just wanted to point to the fact that there is no contradiction in the scripture. It just takes a little bit of understanding. Now I would like us to turn back to our regular reading about our father Abraham in the book of Genesis. Chapter 18. As the Lord appeared unto Abram in the plains of Mamre, as our father Abraham was sitting in the tent of his tent door in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three persons stood by him nearby. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, my Lord. Whom is our father Abraham talking to? He saw three persons, three figures, standing nearby. As some travelers that were traveling by his place, and they stood there for a moment, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked at them, and he ran to meet them. It was an old man, almost 100 years old, 99 I think, and he ran to meet them, and he bowed down to the ground and said, my Lord, which one of the three? If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, not you, nor ye, but thee, from pass not away from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and washed, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Did they answer in chorus? It's very, very interesting in which way, in what style this word of God has been recorded for us. The Lord appeared to Abram in three persons, but the Lord is one, and the will is one, and the voice is one. When Abram talked, he said, my Lord, but because they appeared in three persons, it's you wash your feet and comfort your hearts and so on. And they all answered, all three at once, so do as thou hast said. It was one God appearing in three persons so long ago. And Abram hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Prepare that and make cakes on the hearth. And Abram ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. If we take a list, if we make a list of all the things that Abram prepared for that meal, it was a feast. And if we turn to the book of the law of the sacrifices, we will find that so many of these items were listed in the law. It was an offering, and Abram did not offer that offering as a formal sacrifice, but as a desire of his heart to show hospitality to his Lord. And then, as they did eat, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, one of the three, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abram, now this time it's another one of the three. You see, one of them said, behold, I will return within a year. But now this, the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. It seemed to me that the three are taking turns talking to Abram, and they're talking about the same thing, and they're talking in continuation as one person. And yet one of them is talking about himself. I will return. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? And then the first one is saying again, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, a year, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. I think that probably, at least from time to time, most of us would be afraid if somebody just plainly said what we thought or how we felt inside, even though we didn't show anything outside. For she was afraid, and she said, I laugh not. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Just to reveal that the Lord knows not only what is seen on our faces, but also what is hidden in our hearts and in our minds. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. They were turned or aiming in that direction towards Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on the way. First, Abram is rushing to prepare the meal, and then he's standing while they're eating, and now he's walking with them part of the way. All of that seemed to be very hearty, sincere and honest kindness of Abram toward the Lord. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram that thing which I do? And this is one of the wonderful things that our Lord is doing to his friends, to those that believed, even though that sometimes that faith is wavering, sometimes that faith of his friends is inconsistent, sometimes they fail in their deeds. And yet just short time after, Sarah in herself laughed at the words of the Lord, finding it very difficult to believe that that will really happen, and yet not refusing to believe. Something not as dramatic perhaps, but humanly speaking similar to the answer of the father that was begging, asking for healing of his son, and the Lord said, all is possible to him that believes. And the father with tearful eyes answered, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And just short time after that conversation, the Lord is saying to Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. How wonderful. I'd like to read that again. The Lord is saying about Abraham, and the Lord is saying that in the presence of all three of them, should we say all three of him, to Abraham. For I know him, Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now they're up on the mountain slope far from Sodom, where Abraham had his flock and his flocks and his household, and they're going down toward the valley of the river Jordan, toward the cities Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Now these words are very special. Very interesting. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. Which way is the cry from Sodom and Gomorrah, come to the Lord. Who was in Sodom and Gomorrah crying to the Lord about the evils that were in Sodom and Gomorrah? About that one family, the Lord wants to talk with Abraham. Abraham desired to talk to the Lord. As soon as Abraham understood what's going on, what's going to happen. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Apparently, two of the three persons already started walking toward Sodom. And one of the three was still with Abraham. And that one of the three started talking with Abraham and telling Abraham what's going to happen. And Abraham The Lord knew exactly what was going in the cities of the valley. The Lord knew every sin that happened there. And the Lord did not want to allow those terrible sins to continue. The moment that will end the existence of the cities of the valley was very close. The Lord is bringing that to pass. And Abraham stood before the Lord, and Abraham drew near and said, "Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And the Lord didn't say, "I will destroy them." The Lord just said, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And Abraham knew what is the reward for sin. And so should all the friends know. Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" Abraham was a man. And destruction, visible, open destruction of the cities was a horrible thing for him. Before that, Abraham went to war to free Lot and the rest of the people that were captured by the conquering kings. And Abraham saw what bloodshed is. He did it to free his nephew Lot and Lot's family. And yet, Abraham did not enjoy bloodshed. And most of all, he was concerned for his nephew, Lot, and Lot's family. And he says, "Will not thou spare the whole city if there be 50 righteous?" Now, why 50? Was that Abraham's estimate? Did Abraham expect that at least, the members of Lot's family and the servants that were born in their household might be believers, believing the Lord, and not taking any part in the sins of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the rest of that awful world of sinners? In any case, Abraham is pleading with the Lord, and he says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" What was right? What was right in Abraham's sight? And what was right in the sight of God? We read in the closing verse of this chapter, verse 33, "And the Lord went his way
as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Was Abraham somewhat out of his place when he said these words? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Well, Abraham was pleading, and the Lord did not rebuke Abraham. The Lord answered to Abraham in very plain and short words. The Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. What do we see in this answer? As long as there are those that are turning from sin to the Lord will suffer the sinners to live. He will allow that city of Sodom and the other cities there to exist as long as there be at least some of them turning to the Lord. Abraham did not take this promise as the final end of this conversation. Abraham wanted to be safe, or to have the family of Lot secured by the promise of the Lord. Abraham wanted to be sure that Lot and his family will not perish with the sinners in Sodom. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. That was humility. Abraham did not say, well, I already got at least one promise from God concerning this matter, so that he would feel encouraged to negotiate with the Lord and to somehow have some rights before the Lord. Not like the servant about whom our Lord told us the story, that was forgiven a great debt and then came out and feeling forgiven and right, he saw his debtor all wrong. So he choked him. Abraham said, after receiving that first promise from the Lord, he said, I am but dust and ashes, but behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city just for the 5 that lack? And the Lord said, whatever lacks means nothing. What is there is something. The Lord said, if I find 45, not for the lack of 5, but for the existence of 45, I will not destroy the city. And he spake, Abraham spake unto the Lord again, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And so on, he's pleading, he's begging, he's asking, peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And it goes on and on. Finally, Abraham said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And the Lord answered, I will not destroy the city if there be 10 righteous people. Who would be the 10 righteous people? Abraham stopped at the number 10. It seems to me, beloved, that Lot and Lot's wife had 4 daughters. 2 of the daughters were married, and 2 of the daughters were proposed, engaged. And so that would be exactly 10 people. Lot, his wife, 4 daughters, and 4 sons-in-law. And it was not the case. There were not 10 righteous. We find later on in the scripture that Lot was a righteous man. But we also find in the prophecy that if a righteous man will trust in his righteousness and will disobey the Lord, nothing of his righteousness will be mentioned before the Lord. He will die in his iniquity. Disobedience destroys righteousness. However, the true righteous person dwelling in the hearts of those that believe can overcome unrighteousness and make us righteous. If we trust the Lord, if we live according to His word, if we daily pray and daily renew our covenant with the Lord will lead us from this world into that new life and then into that wonderful and glorious kingdom of heaven, kingdom which I, in my great weakness, desire for my soul and for all of you and for all of God's people. May the Lord grant us that kingdom in Christ now and much more in eternity. Amen.